And scripture reading today is Psalms 43 and Galatians 3 verses 23 through 29. Vindicate me, my God, and please my cause against the unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are my God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my souls, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior, my God. And Galatians, before the coming of the faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized in the Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise.
Well, today is an important day. It is a day that we honor the fathers or those who served as role models for us in our lives. Lots of times when I think back, my father wasn't a particularly great person. He was okay. But he was an alcoholic, so he had his moments. But I remember fishing with him. That was always a good thing. But my grandfather stepped into that gap and was always a great role model. And then my stepfather. And then my parents' friends were always kind of engaged with us as well, and the neighbors. And so there were plenty of role models to help raise us up. That was a day when it took a village to raise children, and we actually truly practiced it. And so because of all that great influence, we like to remember it on these days. And it is important because children watch what we do. It's also, coincidentally, Juneteenth today. And for anybody who might not be familiar with it is our newest federal holiday, which means it's a bank holiday on Monday. So if you're planning to go to the bank, surprise, there's a new holiday in there called Juneteenth. And it is a federal holiday commemorating the emancipation of the enslaved African Americans. It was observed, it's also observed to celebrate the African American culture. It originated in Galveston, Texas, and it's been celebrated annually in Galveston, and then as it continued to flow into other parts on June 19th since 1865. And why did it start in 1865 when emancipation was actually given in 1863, you might ask? Because it took 2 years then for the information to get from Washington, D.C. to Texas. Today it would take a nanosecond. But then, can you imagine 2 years before they knew of this change in our government and our laws? So we have really expanded our ability to get information. We have really expanded our ability to celebrate more people in our lives in more ways. Hell, we can send them texts, we can send them email, we can give them a call, we can send them flowers, we can send them fruit, we can send them steaks, we can send them anything we want and do just like that. It's amazing, isn't it? Just amazing. But you know what? It doesn't end our work. We still have a lot of work to do. And so, might we aspire to continue to expand our love? Let us pray. Dearest Creator, help us to see and hear and understand that we have not completed the work your Son, Jesus Christ, asked us to do when he asked us to love one another. Yep, we've made progress, but there's still much to do to accept all of your creation. We thank you for your continued love and encouragement to keep us moving forward on these improvements, to encourage us to have more acceptance, to more have more love for all of humanity. Amen. Well, as Dawn read Psalm 43, did it feel like we were kind of starting in the middle of a story to you? And the reality is we were. Actually, it is the second part of Psalm 42. Scholars aren't sure exactly why these got separated, but Psalm 42 starts out with a complaint to God from the psalmist and a petition to God. The writer is in a crisis and engages in that dialogue with the Holy Spirit as a way of articulating that crisis and then trying to find a way to move forward. The psalmist complains about being separated from worship at the temple, and we don't know whether the psalmist was ill or if the psalmist was in exile, but they were not happy about being separated from their worshiping community and the temple. But as we move into Psalm 43, where Dawn started this morning, we hear the writer now begin the petition to God to function as a defense attorney in the face of dominating enemies who are bullying the petitioner. And the writer is calling for justice. And in verse 3, we hear the writer asking God to provide a refuge, to provide light, to provide truth in this situation. And then the psalm ends with an affirmation that in God there is hope. It's much like when we call somebody up just to verbalize what's irritating us. The psalmist is saying, I'm just not happy with the way things are going here, God, so we need to fix them, so let's get going, let's move on. Kind of like when we call up and say, hey, you know, my day really was the pits, and I really didn't like it, and it was, oh, wait, now that I've said that, I need to go do this, and off we go. Or we can kind of get it into a manageable size issue once we've verbalized it. This is where I say, God bless the fathers and the men in our lives, because women are much more verbal than men. I'm sure the men have never noticed that. And we do better if we actually verbalize what's bugging us and look for a resolution to it. And God bless the men who listen. My dad used to call it selective hearing. He always wished he always hoped he had it on in the right framework at the right time, but he got caught rather frequently not listening to my mother, who talked all the time. She was quite a verbal person. So much like Christ on the cross, there is a recognition that in the midst of despair or crisis, there is always God's persistent love and dedication to walk with us. So coming back to the petitioner, the psalmist, saying, hey, God, I got this problem. I can't get to the temple. I can't worship. I can't do what I need to do. I don't hear your voice the way I'd like to. Then turns the petition over to the Holy Spirit to help provide a person or provide an uplift or provide someone to pull him out of the isolation and to fear and to interject love and hope. That's why we come to church on Sunday. We're looking for love and hope. We don't travel alone in life. Most of us spend sometimes maybe alone, but not our entire life. Seems like there's usually someone who's listening. Someone who's guiding, someone who's helping us with our relationship with the world, maybe our relationship with God. And so this is what the Apostle Paul was doing in Galatians. Now, the Apostle Paul is one of my favorites because he always starts out so nice and friendly and nice and warm, and all the believers who are here to join me in sending greetings to the churches of Galatia. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. And in order to set us free from this present evil age, Christ gave himself for our sins in obedience to the will of our God and Father. And to God be the glory forever and forever. Amen. Oh, Paul likes us. Paul loves us. Paul says, oh, come on. Look, I'm so glad to see you people in Galatia. This is just wonderful. But then, like Paul, he gets to verse 6. And I'm surprised at you. In no time at all, you are deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are accepting another gospel. Thank you, Paul. You can always tell it's Paul's letter because Paul always lifts you up and says, oh, you're wonderful and I love you and I'm so glad to be talking to you. And then he comes back and goes, bang, but this is what you're doing wrong. Check it out. Everything Paul's written, that's how Paul comes at you. He loves to love on you. He loves to get your attention. And then he loves to correct you. Because, you know, we continue to add our human interpretations to all of Jesus' teachings, and we may come up with something a little bit different than what Jesus was asking us to do. And maybe we're just trying to address a situation, or maybe someone objected to following a rule, and so we bent the requirements a little bit because we didn't want to lose that person from our community. But Paul is telling the Galatians there is no rule bending. Yes, you can meet current times and current space and current events, but you still need to strive to make the word your work. Don't modify the word. So how does this happen? Well, let me share the story I happened on last night, written by Patricia Rabin. And note how time progresses in this story and continues to enhance the presence of Christ. As the only black student in my high school graduating class, I was accustomed to occasional snubs. Thus, at a recent class reunion, some who shunned me in high school did the same. Was it because of race? Or were they still not bothering to say hello? I wasn't sure, yet I insisted on going, and with my skeptical husband in tow, I vowed to take a hard look at my past, to pin on my name tag on my sweater with my yearbook photo affixed, and act as if I belonged. Well, in fact, I did belong. I reminisced and reconnected with many old friends, and to my surprise, I also made new friends. One varsity football player came over to talk to me about race, of all things. We'd never exchanged two words in high school, but he asked my opinion on how racial healing happens. Listening to him, I marveled at how social taboos and racial awkwardness had blocked our friendship as teens. And then I considered that in the 60s, my classmates and I had struggled to integrate a society while watching friends go to Vietnam and come home in body bags, our world still torn. Other classmates had left us too through accidents and illness, and life just came calling. We who were still here looked joyful and grateful. So on the drive home, I confessed to my husband an unexpected epiphany. God kept me. Despite the racism and more, God kept me. God sustained me. And like Patricia, God has sustained each one of us. And like the psalmist, might we be thankful and grateful and set ourselves on the path to continue to make our community a more loving and just community. Might we greet everyone with love and never apply judgment. Might we remember that God is a safe haven. The psalmists knew God as the source of all my joy. Their life and their hope could be found in God. They knew that the same hope and joy did not exist in human rules and commandments and judgment. Hope and joy live in the manifestation of Christ's teachings through our actions. So despite the storms in our lives, despite the inadequacy of human laws and rules, might we discover God in this way too, as our joy and our hope. And might we share and spread love and hope and justice and cause these teachings to burst into flame throughout Council Bluffs and Iowa. Amen.